Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 8 through 19 of Hebrews chapter 11. The famous faith chapter, the heroes of faith. Mentioned in this chapter throughout it. And I'm going to read from the portion about Abraham, beginning with verse 8, and I'm going to end at verse 19. Let's now hear from God's Word, His holy sacred Word, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. May God add blessings of understanding, mercy, and love through the reading of his holy word. Once again, we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou would be with us, that thou would bless us, that thou would keep us close to thee, even as we worship in spirit and in truth. Show thyself to us, and all the more through the hearing of thy word. We pray in your name. Amen. I think all of us know what it's like to be troubled, to have a trial, experience a trial or trials in our life. We also know what it's like to be tempted. I think some of us know better than others, understand it better than others. And so I'm speaking this morning to those who are not strangers to this, to the trouble, to the trial, and to the tribulations, and to the temptations that are experienced in this world. But here we have a trial that for Abraham that is just great. It it's
magnificent in not a good way. It's an amazing trial that he's about to have. And you know, Scripture calls Abraham a friend of God. And this is what God allows, but more than allows, brings to his friend. Obviously, it's for a good reason, because God is not evil. God doesn't do things by mistake or let the wiles and the whims and the wherefores and the chances of nature and circumstance have their way with us. God controls it all. But here is his friend, God's friend, and he is about to trouble Abraham tremendously. I don't think Abraham ever imagined in the beginning, when he had his son, that he is going to be tried by God, his friend, who called him his friend, who visited him on occasion with three angel visitors, one of which was a theophany, probably, Christ, spoke to him in visions and dreams and such, and now is about to take his son from him. What? I want us to think about this and apply it to ourselves. So I just want to talk about this temptation a little bit more, the promised son that God gave Abraham, which was Isaac, his response to this trial. Abraham's sacrifice. And finally, God's sacrifice for us. Genesis 22 says that God did tempt Abraham. Now, the word that's used and translated tempt is also the same word that's used and translated trial. Not in every case, but in many cases. It's the same word. It could be translated tempt or trial. Now, God, when he tempts someone, never tempts someone towards evil. And that's why we'd rather say God tries us. He tests us. Maybe we would even go so far as say he troubles us, but we are uncomfortable with saying he tempts us in our day. But that is the language of Scripture, but it's never toward evil. It's always for our good. Brothers and sisters, the trial you are experiencing now, the trouble, the testing, is for your good, for his glory first, yes, and for your good, though it may not seem that way. It certainly, at first, did not seem that way to Abraham. But God clearly is the one responsible for trying faithful Abraham. And that's the key there, the word faithful, the operative word, if you will, faithful. God is trying his faith. Trying his faith. Satan tries to get you to walk by sight, to get you angry, to get you discouraged. He tempts you to throw away your faith, not to embrace it and bring it into your life more and more, but to throw it out of your life. That's Satan's desire. But that's not God's desire by any of his trials. That's not the design.
though it may not feel that way, it is that way. The problem with trials and troubles that God brings into our life for a reason, sometimes we can't see why. The problem with those trials that come from God into our lives is because of our weakness and because of our propensity towards sin, the old man, if you will. A trial can turn into a temptation for us to sin. That's our problem. You need to be aware of it. Because God's not going to eliminate trying times from us in this world. This is not paradise anymore. This is a fallen, sin-cursed world, and that's the way it's going to stay until Jesus returns and sets everything right. Until that time, Christians are exposed to the trials and tribulations of life, the circumstances that go wrong, the sicknesses that come into our lives. We're all going to have that happen to us, as well as to the rest. None of us are exempt from that. But because of our weakness, these trials, these troubles, rather than promoting our faith and helping us to walk by faith and not by sight, they tend to work against it sometimes, and we get tempted to sin, to get discouraged, to throw out faith, to cast it away, to depend upon man more than God, to depend upon ourselves or even our own friends and family rather than Christ and His Word. That's the problem with trials. They turn into temptations for us. And this is one of those times when here it is, Abraham is a friend of God. He loves God. He cares about His Word. He's been visited by God. He's spoken with Him. He has believed His promise, for example, that I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee, Isaac, right? And in Isaac, the nations will be blessed. Through your seed, Abraham, through Isaac and his seed, on into Messiah, go looking afar off. We're going to be blessed. Finally, I have a son in my old age, my only son in my old age. And he's a son full of promise, rich in promises from God, who told me so, who revealed it to me in His Word. And now, He says to me, Abraham, you have to give him up. Think about that. Let it settle in for just a minute, even a few seconds. This son that I gave you in old age and you were looking forward to, you when you thought all hope was gone, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, somehow it's going to happen, but not in my lifetime, he gave you this son to bless the nations, to fulfill the promises that he made. And now he turns around and says to me, Abraham, you're going to have to give up your son. Do you think you've ever been tried like that? I know it may feel like that sometimes, what you're going through, or what some loved one is going through. But this is just you're talking, remember, he's a man of faith, he's a friend of God, he's spoken with God, this is about faith, and I'm going to give you a son according to promise, it's going to be a son full of promise, and I'm going to now ask you to give him up. How does that make sense? How do you deal with something like that? You're going to have to sacrifice your son.
This is a strange thing, by the way. Not sacrifice. Abraham made an altar and made sacrifices wherever he dwelt, wherever he went. He built an altar. He lit a fire and he burnt the lamb or the clean animal upon it. And what he did at the altar is he bowed down and he prayed and he adored his Lord. Now, he's told that your son is going to have to be the sacrifice. You're getting the picture? Is it becoming clearer? It's a strange request because God never made such a request or never hinted at human sacrifice before. And later on, we know that that's an abomination to him. God condemns human sacrifice for any reason. But this is just strange that God requires a human sacrifice, the sacrifice of Abraham's son, Isaac. And so you see, it's not sitting well. It's a shock. A shock to the faith system, if you will, of Abraham. And, you know, he's thinking about this, and he is wondering about the promise. And, you know, if God said to Abraham, I'm going to take your son, and he took him through a disease or a sickness or an accident or something like that, took him. That's painful enough, right? Or if he said, Abraham, I want you to build this altar now, set that fire and throw him on the fire and get out of there right away, just do it. Painful and upsetting. But what he says to Abraham, when he says this to Abraham, that you're going to have to sacrifice your son, he sets him on a three-day journey. So for 3 days, Abraham is mulling this over in his thoughts. He is probably wide awake at night under the stars pondering this and wondering about this and just how's it all going to play out? Because remember what he has been asked to do by God. He's asked to build an altar, to set the wood upon, you know, making that altar proper, to set the wood all up, and to light, well, to bind his son onto that altar, to bind him up, to tie him to it, and then to set it on fire. That's what he's been asked to do, and he has to think about this for 3 days. God didn't just take his son away. That would be hard enough. God told him to do this and for 3 days to think about it. And so the only thing Abraham could come to, the only way he can deal with this is just believe. Just obey. Just do what God has told me to do, trusting that he is doing this for his glory and for my faith. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't get the picture yet. I just have to do it. And so then they get to Mount Moriah. By the way, the mount where Abraham was to sacrifice his son is the mount where the temple would be built eventually later on, and the area, the vicinity in which Jesus Christ is put on the cross to die. This is the same place. So he goes to the mount, he tells his servants to wait, and he takes his son up to the place where they're going to build that altar. And the son and the father are walking along, and Isaac turns to his father and looks to him and says, "Father, we have the wood, we have this, you know, the fire. Where's the sacrifice?" And his father says to his son, Abraham says to Isaac, "God will provide the sacrifice." Meaning that whatever God provides, it's going to be the sacrifice. Knowing that at this point, Isaac is. So they get to this point where they're supposed to be, and Abraham sets up the altar, and he binds his son to it, and he's about to plunge the knife into his son's heart before he, and then set the fire. And you know what he's asked to do after that? To pray to God. To adore God, because that's what you do at the altar. That's what they did. They adored the Lord. They prayed to him and worshiped there. And so Abraham's going through all these motions, and his son is there, and he's ready to plunge that knife through the heart of his son to kill the offering now of Isaac. And the angel of the Lord appears and says, "Enough. Halt. Now I know. Now I know that you walk by faith in me and not by sight. Hold your hand. Hold your hand, Abraham. Do not plunge that knife into the heart of your son. I will provide the sacrifice." And the ram caught in the thicket was there, appeared. He gladly takes it, and he offers up it instead of his own son. Reminds me of a message I heard at chapel in Westminster one time. Dr. Dillard spoke it. And he talked about this scene of Abraham ready to plunge the knife into the heart of his son, and God halting his hand. Similar thing happened with David. David had sinned profusely against God, had caused the people Israel to sin, and God was taking vengeance upon the people Israel for the sin that David led them in. And he was given a choice by God whether to fall into the hands of his enemy or to fall into the hand of God. And David chose God because God is just and God is righteous. And so God is just wiping out Israel. I mean, they're dying. They're falling off like flies. They are being killed because of punishment against them for sinning, which David led them to. And David's looking upon Jerusalem now. And he's probably, his eyes are full of tears. And the angel, he sees the angel of the Lord hovering over Jerusalem. And the angel, this huge creation, draws out his sword, unsheaths his sword, and is about to come down upon Jerusalem, the city Jerusalem, and destroy it. And destroy and wipe out the people. And David could only look upon it, helpless. And God says, "Halt." Just when the angel was going to come down upon Jerusalem, God says, "Halt." And the angel sheaths his sword. And the city is spared. Take that to the cross. There is God's own son attached to the cross. Bolted, if you will, to the cross, nailed to the cross. And the angel of the Lord is about to take out his sword and plunge that sword through the heart of the of God's only begotten Son. But this time, there is no voice saying, halt. There is no mercy saying, enough. This time, the angel plunges his sword deep into the heart of the Savior and drains his blood from his body. That's what God has done for you and for me by providing the sacrifice. He's taken his Son, his only begotten, and he has sacrificed him instead of your son, your daughter, or even you yourself, so that you can live with him forever. This is the scene. This is what it means to walk by faith in God's word. God is going to take care of you. God is going to lead you to himself. Look what he did by giving up his own son for us. He's going to do everything for us necessary. Believe in him. Walk by faith. You will not be disappointed. God is with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us. Bless us with your word. Your word is truth, of course. May it be deep within us. May it stir us to anew, afresh, to walk according to it, to your word, according to your ways and not the ways of mankind. And we pray, Lord Jesus, go with us throughout this day, throughout our lives. In your name we ask these things. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 542, hymn 542. Thank you.